the episodes into one?
I don't think I can do that.
Well, if you can you do it?
You say hello, podcast listeners.
Hello, podcast listeners.
Hello. Welcome back to Storytime with David and Mommy.
And Broken Down Camera Set.
Right. We're continuing to read Kidnapped by Robert Louis Stevenson. And we were halfway through chapter 12.
Enter!
Which was, I hear of the Red Fox. Do you remember who the Red Fox is?
Yeah, it's this guy who says all the people should pay.
Yeah.
To live in their houses.
Yeah, he was being really unfair and mean to all the tenants, the people who lived in the houses.
Even French? Yep. Because the guy who used to be in charge, he said he should go be a banker.
That's true.
Well, he bees that new guy.
And he was talking about how the Campbells, I don't know if one of the Campbells is one of the Red Foxes. Like, if he is the Red Fox, I don't know if that's that guy. It sounds like it might be.
The Red Fox.
Sometimes it's hard to understand Alan, but we'll do the best we can. Man, Alan, said I, ye are neither very wise nor very Christian to blow off so many words of anger. They will do the man ye call the fox no harm and yourself no good. Tell me your tale plainly out. What did he next?
And that's a good observe, David, said Alan. Troth, and indeed, they will do him no harm, the more's the pity. And barring that about Christianity, of which my opinion is quite otherwise, or I would be a Christian, I am much of your mind.
Opinion here or opinion there, said I, it's a Kent thing that Christianity forbids reverence. It's a Kent thing, a known thing, that Christianity forbids revenge.
Hi, said he, it's well seen it was a Campbell taught ya. It would be a convenient world for them and their sort if there was no such thing as a lad and a gun behind the heather bush. But that's nothing to the point. That is what he did.
Aye, said I, come to that.
Well, David, said he, since he could not be rid of the loyal commons by fair means, he swore he would be rid of them by foul. Ardshiel was to starve, and that was the thing he aimed at.
Did he say Ardshiel?
Ardshiel. He's the guy who lives in France.
Is he good?
I don't know.
Or is he bad?
I don't know. I don't know if Alan's good or bad yet. I think he probably is good. But I'm not sure. I don't think we've spent enough time with him yet. So I don't think Ardshiel is bad because all of the people in his town love him.
But they have to pay him money.
Well, they're choosing to pay him money. They want to help him because they love him. They don't have to do it. They're choosing to do it.
And since them that fed him in his exile would not be bought out, right or wrong, he would drive them out. Therefore he sent for lawyers and papers and redcoats to stand at his back. And the kindly folk of that country must all pack and tramp, every father's son, out of his father's house and out of the place where he has bred and fed and played when he was a callant,
which is another word for boy.
And who are to succeed them? Bare legit beggars. King George is to whistle for his rents. He maundows with less. He can spread his butter thinner. What cares Red Colin? If he can hurt Ardshiel, he has his wish, and he can pluck the meat from my chieftain's table and the bit toys out of his children's hands, he will gang hame singing to Glenyar.
Let me have a word, said I. Be sure, if they take less rents, be sure government has a finger in the pie. It's not this Campbell's fault, man. It's his orders. And if you killed this Colin tomorrow, what better would you be? There would be another factor in his shoes as fast as a spur can drive. So what Davy is saying is that... What Davy is saying is that he doesn't think it's the Campbell, the Red Fox guy, who is one of the Campbells. He doesn't think that This was his choice. He thinks that he was being told what to do by King George. And he was also saying that...
Is he King George the first, King George the second, or King George
the third? I don't know. That's a good question. Maybe we can try to figure that out. We'll have to look at some history stuff. Davy's also saying that if Alan killed the Red Fox, then somebody else would just take his place because it's the government. It's not him. So he's just guessing. He doesn't really know. He's just thinking, hey, maybe this is the way it is.
You're a good... How did you get this off of your hair?
Please don't put it back on my hair. I don't want it on my hair. It's a bookmark. I don't want it on my hair. It goes on
then
a book.
Then I'll put it on my...
You're a good lad in a fight, said Alan, but man, you have Whig blood in you.
He spoke kindly enough, but there was so much anger under his contempt that I thought it was wise to change the conversation. I expressed my wonder how, with the highlands covered with troops and guarded like a city in a siege, a man in his situation could come and go without arrest.
It's easier than you would think, said Alan. A bare hillside, you see, is like all one road. If there's a sentry at one place, you just go by another. And then the heather's a great help, and everywhere there are friends' houses and friends' briars and haystacks. And besides, when folk talk a country covered with troops, it's but a kind of a byword at the best. A soldier covers ne mair than his boot soles. I've fished a water with a sentry on the other side of the brae and killed a fine trout, and I've sat in a heather bush within 6 feet of another and learned a real bonny tune from his whistling. That was it, said he, and he whistled me the air. And then besides, he continued, it's not so bad now as it was in 1946. The Highlands are what they call pacified. Small wonder, with never a gun or a sword left in Cantrier to Cape Wrath, but what 20 folk have hidden in their thatch. But what I would like to ken, David, is just how long. Not long, you would think, with men like Ardshiel in exile and men like the Red Fox sitting birling with the wine and oppressing the poor at home. But it's a kittle thing to decide what folk'll bear and what they will not. Or why would Red Colin be riding his horse all over me poor country of Appin, and never a pretty lad to put a bullet in him? And with this, Alan fell into a muse, and for a long time sat very sad and silent. I will add the rest of what I have to say about my friend, that he was skilled in all kinds of music, but principally pipe music, was a well-considered poet in his own tongue, and had read several books, both in French and English, and was a dead shot, a good angler, and an excellent fencer with a small sword as well as his own particular weapon.
Where is it?
For his faults...
What's the bookmark?
Use your eyeballs.
How did it get there?
For his faults, they were on his face, and now I knew them all. But the worst of them, his childish propensity to take offense and pick quarrels, he greatly laid aside in my case, out of regard for the battle in the roundhouse. But whether it was because I had done well myself, or because I had witnessed, I had been a witness of his own much greater prowess, is more than I can tell. For though he had a great taste for courage in other men, yet he admired it most in Alan Breck.
The sword of Alan Breck.
That's the end of chapter 2.
Can you sing the sword of Alan?
Let's see. I think we did it to the tune of Haul Away.
Haul Away.
This is the song of the sword of Alan Breck, Alan Breck, the sword of Alan Breck. The smith, he made it, and the fire set it, and the shines in the hand of Alan Breck. I can't remember the rest of the words to it. He stabbed a bunch of guys in the face and in the tummy, Alan Breck, the sword of Alan Breck.
Yeah.
They defended the roundhouse, and Davy shot somebody at the sword of Alan Breck, the sword of Alan Breck.
Can you sing that one more time? because it was so funny.
It was funny.
For the podcast listeners to catch it.
You like the part where he stabbed him in the tummy?
Can you sing it one more time?
Mr. Sean, he came into the roundhouse and he was looking for a fight. But then flashed aloft and it went into his tummy. It was the sword of Alan Breck. Oh, you tooted.
What I'm laughing is I sometimes do. But sometimes I let out the gas unknown.
Oh, unknown.
Like when I'm doing normal, I just toot.
Oh my goodness. Well, that's a lot of info. Time. The captain, he had had enough of the fight from the sword of Alan Breck. So he asked for a parley and he made a deal to get rid of the sword of Alan Breck.
But then he came back to the fight and killed everyone except the captain Blake.
I like your rhyming. Good rhyming. Let's see. Alan had stabbed some guys in the face and wreck the sword of Alan Breck.
I think you made it.
What rhymes with face? Mace, pace, lace. Case. They had to cover their foreheads with lace because of the sword of Alan Breck.
Eyes with the sword of Alan Breck.
Davy, he stuck his head out of the skylight, the sword of Alan Breck. And he was shot at and he ducked back in and then he shot some other guys in the chin, in the shoulder.
In the heart.
Oh, we're really not this violent podcast, listeners.
I stab you in the heart and point that thing of yours in between your eyes and fire.
Yarr. We're not violent, but pirates are violent, so.
Like, that's an example of what pirates say.
Yarr. You want to tell the podcast listeners your pirate joke?
What is it?
What's a pirate's favorite letter?
What's a pirate's favorite letter?
I don't know. What is a pirate's letter?
You think it's the R, but it's actually the C!
That was a good one.
Get out, you see ahead of you.
I love it. All right, let's say goodnight, podcast listeners. We'll read more tomorrow.
Aya Swabs, put that beauty thing in between your eyes and fire a squid.
Fire a squid? Oh, maybe we should be the squid of Alan Breck. The squid of Alan Breck. He took the squid out of his squid scabbard, Alan Breck. The squid of Alan Breck. He squirted ink all over the people who were rushing Alan Breck. The squid of Alan Breck. They couldn't see anything because of the ink, Alan Breck. The squid of Alan Breck. They stumbled and tumbled and they fell into the drink from the squid. The squid of Alan Breck.
And put that sword in between your eyes and stab it with the squid.
Oh, that's that. Don't forget that last step.
Stab it with the squid.
All right. Good night, podcast listeners.
Good night. Put that beauty thing in between your mouth and fire a squid out of your head.
These boys are something else. All right. Bye.
Bye, you beauty girl.